My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert, recording this episode for Sunday, July 3rd, 2022. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. If you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts or wherever and give this show a 5-star review. Let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival. Subscribe, $3 a month for hours and hours and hours of bonus content. This is episode 584. There's no guest. There's no super special guest. There's no super special return guest. It's just me on a July 4th weekend, trying to lay low and stay out of trouble. It's not that I'm going to get in trouble, but it's just really just staying out of the mix. And I find myself in a bit of a pickle where I need to go to the grocery store and I'm dreading a shit show. And I'm hoping it doesn't happen, but I think it'll be okay. One of my buddies, shout out to Ken Krantz, He messaged me yesterday. Hey, you want to do this show? And I look at the flyer, and it's a show that's like in Red Bank. It's like an hour and a half, hour and change away from me. And I misread the flyer because I thought it was July 2nd, and it was July 21st or something. For some reason, I just could not see, or my mind was just dealing with other shit. And I just said, I don't know. Should I do this? And go do the set and brave all this shit. And I said, just Ken, just call me. Let me know about this. And he called me and he was like, Chris, it's the second. Because first, before he told me that, he said it was the 21st. But the first, I was like, is this a monthly? And I was like, are people going to come? Do you think people are going to come to a comedy show on the 4th of July weekend? He's like, no, it's the 21st. So it's on a weeknight, so it'll be fine. It'll be fun. So I'm going to be there. That's going to be on July 21st. It's actually looks like it's going to be one of those cool hip shows. Let me pull up my calendar. Why don't we just pull up some comedy dates and I'll just tell you what's going on. Is it the 21st? Yeah, it's the Kings of the Craft comedy show. And it's going to be at Kings of the Craft Barbershop in Red Bank, New Jersey. So it's going to be like a cool pop-up show. So that should be fun. I think I've done comedy in a strip club before. You're not a real comedian unless you've done, you're not a real comedian unless you've done a show at a strip club or some type of club where a stripper pole was present. That's how you know that you're you're in the game. So it'll be fun to do something like that. I always love doing, it's cool to play the theaters and all that, and you play do a cool really cool bar show or something like that, but it's nice when you can do stand up in interesting places. I was talking to somebody about that, like just the journey of this game is pretty remarkable. And you go to these interesting and cool places. Some of them are like weird and creepy, and you wonder if you should even be there and what life choices you took to get to that place. And you question yourself. But then there's others that are really nice. Like I was telling somebody, I did this show in, I've done it a couple of times. Schoolhouse Theater, Westchester. What town is that? That's in North Salem, New York. Shout out to comedian Adam Oleonsis. He used to put on shows out there before the pandemic hit. It's like not far from Croton Falls and all that. Just really cool, like an old schoolhouse that they turned into a theater, and you do some comedy there. And they have like a nice little museum with people's artwork in there, that like in the lobby. Really just fucking cool, you know. Stuff at like Mass Mocha in North Salem, Mass. Anyway, I'm reminiscing, but I might get back to that a little later. So I'm going to do that show on the 21st, and I guess put out the info when the date gets closer. And also, I will be next week. I'll be in Naugatuck, Connecticut. What? Oh my gosh, Chris. I'm going to be at the 585 Main Bar and Grill in Naugatuck, Kentucky. I'm headlining that, I think. I think I'm doing a long set there. Either way, I'm doing a long set there. I'll be there. That's on a Sunday night. So that should be fun. Sunday night, summertime. All right. You know, I think it should be a good time. So you can catch me there, and hopefully some more dates pop up. Last night I was fortunate enough to close out this show, the Brick City Comedy Review, at the Kilkenny Ale House in Newark, New Jersey. That's run by Justin Williams, who's a terrific comedian. Love working with him. He's one of those dudes I started with. I think he started maybe a year or two before me in New York City, and we became friends. And they're coming up on their 8-year. He's coming up on his 8-year anniversary at that place. It's crazy to think it's been that long since he's been doing it, but it's become like a really nice staple in that Newark community. Like, you have people come, it's a packed house. I had a good time. I was working on some new stuff and getting to the point where some of it was working. A good amount was working, and just worked on some stuff and it was good. So it's good. I'm just trying to talk about my life and find the humor in it and the pain, and just trying to entertain, trying to, you know, do what I'd been doing. I just came up on my 13th anniversary of being a comedian. It popped up, one of the Facebook memories popped up, and in my first time was at Ochi's Lounge on June 29th of 2009. And I remember I would see that thing where people would say, "Oh, good luck, Chris." And people already were starting to say, "Oh, let me know when you're at the DC Improv." And I was at the DC Improv with Paul Verzi, who just put out a special, Nocturnal Admissions, that's out on Netflix right now. And, you know, he's been on the show. It's a really good special. It's a really good special. So I'm happy for Paul. So I was out there, and then I think maybe there were some people from high school that I didn't know they were coming. They were just there to celebrate, and saw those people, and that was cool. And then some other people came out to that show that I knew, but none of those people were like, "Oh, let me know when you're at the Improv." They didn't fucking show up. And those are people that never, I'm thankful for those people as well. The people that, thanks to the people who never showed up to anything. I wasn't really expecting that. When you start comedy, you have friends that come out and see you to help you out, and then they drift away as you become deeper. As you get deeply entrenched into the game, you start to lose friends. and you only have most, sometimes your friends are just your other comedian peers and pals. And as you make your descent further into the abyss of stand-up comedy. So I'm trying to rectify that by doing stuff to counterbalance that. So the past few months I've been trying to just kind of engage more in life, not just to have an act to, you know, have a life worth commenting on in the art form, but just trying to, just be a fully evolved person, you know, just trying to be a decent person as I traverse the terrain of this world and this thing that we call life. So yes, stand-ups helped me in a lot of ways. So I'm really thankful and gracious for all the people that I met. And it was nice to celebrate that last night. And I got to see people that, you know, I hadn't seen in a long time, friends and stuff. One guy, shout out to Christian Polanco. Shit, let's be real. Shout out to Christian Polanco of the Cooligans podcast. And they got a new show. They're with Metal Lark Media now. Christian's been on the show a couple of times. And one of the inspirations for this show, blame it on Christian. I've said that before, but he was the one that along with Christian and Andy Klein, people that were instrumental in helping me get started with this show. And so you can blame Andy and Christian. So it was good to see him. He just got married, and he's doing well. And just a couple of friends that I hadn't seen in a long time. And shout out to Jim Search. And it was just fun, man. It was just good to just do some comedy. And then the homie JL Covan was there. He did a set, and he and I hung out at a diner after the show. That's what fucking comedy is, guys. It's not cocaine filled parties with whores and strippers. Sometimes it's just two guys hanging out, talking about a fucking TV show and our careers. And, you know, that's basically what it is. And have a good night. And I fell asleep watching Stranger Things, which I'll talk about later. It's not because it was bad. It's just because it was a late night. You know, I was up at like 5 o'clock, 4:30 on Friday. But it's good. It's always, like, I think the older I get, the more I reflect. But I think I've always been a person that's reflected on where I've come from, where I've been, and try to figure out where I'm going based on the first two things. So, it was pretty neat to see that, to see that notification on Facebook that 13 years in this, man. And I think it's made me a better person, but then I still have a long way to go to get out there, but it's definitely made me better, especially with a lot of the people that have come into my life, because I decided to, pick up a microphone and share my thoughts and try to make people laugh. Pretty fucking cool. It's such a joy to get to do that and then try to get better at it. You know, I'm humbled by it, to be quite honest. Cause it was something that I was, loved and it respected and admired, and I was afraid to do it because I saw somebody get booed on Showtime at the Apollo and just get booed really bad for just trying to be funny. And I was like fuck that, because if I'm acting it's just like, if they don't like it, it's just like, that's the character, that's not me. But then, you know, that's aspects of you, you know, I would later learn that. But it took me until being 29, kind of depressed. And it took that, me about to turn 30, to just start doing it. And it's really changed my life for the better. So, it's really, really cool to just get to to get to do what I do, and you know, hopefully there'll be more opportunities to do that. So yeah, so that's really neat. It's not a pleasant thing to get in the midst of all this bullshit going on in the world. So much trouble in the land, as my mother says. So that was fun to get to do that. Just a fun fucking night. Just fucking fun, man. So I wanted to shout out the homie, Michael Felder, because I saw on his Instagram, Felder was on last year, I want to say, and we were talking about his favorite shoe, the Nike Air Zoom Flight 95s, the Jason Kidds. And I saw on Instagram where this week he finally got them. So he got them, I guess. I don't know if he'd won the lottery or anything, if they were up on the sneakers app or anything, but he just got those shoes. And I was happy for him, because I'm happy when people that I like, but just people in general, get what they want when it comes to this, when you're able to navigate through the bullshit of these assholes that buy all these bots and they buy up all these shoes, and the people that want them, that really want them to just like cherish them and wear them and enjoy the shoe, they don't get to do that because these assholes buy up all these shoes and then hike up the prices so that nobody gets them. So I was just happy to see that. Like, and it made me think, and I forgot to tell you guys about an experience that I had with Nike Craft. There's a shoe called there's a guy named Tom Sachs, and Tom Sachs is this designer, and let me see what this thing is. So Tom Sachs is an American contemporary artist who lives and works in New York City. And he's had like a couple shoes come out. One that looked like the astronaut moon boots that I wasn't too keen on. But then he had this other shoe that came out a couple years ago, and I remember it. It's the Nike Mars Yard 2.0. And they're basically called the Tom Sachs shoes. And they look cool. Like, it's like, I'm kind of like when it comes to sneakers and cheeseburgers, I'm really alt-right. I'm really conservative. It's just like, give me the stuff that's supposed to be on the burger. I think maybe I've tried a burger with an egg. I don't know. Or maybe I've tried somebody else's burger that they cut for me and I tried. I don't even remember if I did. But I don't go too crazy with that. You just give me the lettuce, pickles, onions, tomatoes, mayo, mustard or whatever, and onions and all that. Or maybe you do, you know, you throw a slice of bacon on there every now and then. But other than that, that's how I roll. That's how I am with pizza and all that stuff. And these shoes are like that. Just if they look good, they're like a nice, clean shoe. Nothing too crazy. That's kind of my speed. And that's what these shoes are. And I looked at these. Now these shoes, these Tom Sachs Nike Mars Yard shoes are run at $8,500 on StockX, $10,000 on GOAT. It's fucking ridiculous. That's insane. It's fucking insane. Who's buying that? And if you do buy it, are you going to actually wear them? I bet PJ Tucker would wear them. He wears anything on the court. PJ Tucker's an NBA player. He was with the Rockets. He was with the Bucks last when they won the chip. I don't know where he's at now. He's with the Heat now. He last played for the Miami Heat. And he's known for his all the sneakers he collects, and he wears them. So the thing about him, he actually wears the shoes that he has. But these other guys, these fucking people that buy these, that have all these bots, they do the same thing for PlayStation. They do the same thing for anything that's has the possibility of being popular, and they jack up the price. So a couple of weeks ago, I saw these Nike Craft Tom Sachs, the general purpose shoe. It's like a simplistic shoe that you could just, you could make them become beaters. They're like I guess like a pair of jeans that kind of become better as you wear them, you know. You get that durability, and it's like, it's a cool shoe, but it's something you could wear every day. It's very simplistic, very plain, but interesting, if you will. And I said, it was like $110. I'm like, okay, that's reasonable. That looks good. I know I have I may not have a chance in hell to get these, but at a certain point you just say, let me give it a shot. I got a little bit of change. Let's try it. So I did. And I'm there. I think the drawing started at 10 o'clock. And you go on the site, you click on the size that you want, and they say, we'll email you when you're ready to, so when you're ready to buy. And I put my email address down and all my information. I never got a fucking email to say, hey, you can buy these shoes. I was there at 10 o'clock, and was refreshing. I did the thing, and I did what I was supposed to do, but I didn't get an email. And then you get there, so I didn't get shit. Then I just like looked it up on Twitter, and I saw where people like, got him. I got him. I didn't fucking get him. Did you get him? I didn't get. And then now they're like $300 on Flight Club. StockX is $290. Let me see how much they're selling this shit for eBay. It's a fucking racket. Like, this consumerism bullshit is, I hate it. Like, I like stuff, and I need to get rid of a lot of stuff that I don't fucking need anymore. But, you know, sometimes you just want something, you know, you want a shoe. You actually gonna, okay. So I'm on eBay now, and it's like, so they're like $450, $470. It's like, no, I'm good. Somebody's $575. It's fucking ridiculous, man. And I've said this counting until I'm blue in the face. The only time I would, if I just had money like that, all my loans were paid off and stuff, and I paid my bills. If I was on a TV show, I would indulge. I would indulge because I would like to have. If I was on a TV, I would just think ideal. If you just dream, if you just daydream a little bit, I'm on a successful TV show. And then once that's on hiatus, I can do stand up at all the clubs, at all the strip malls and stuff. And I'd have like a cool pair of sneakers. Nothing too ostentatious, but I have a cool pair of sneakers. That's all I want. And a girlfriend. That's all I want. You know what I'm saying? That's the dream. Just nothing to not have a day job. That's the dream, you know? So, yeah, it just makes me mad. So it felt good to see Felder get those shoes that he wanted. It just made me smile, you know? Like, that was good. And another guy like Brandon from the Where's My 40 Acres podcast, he's a sneakerhead. He seems to get a lot of the stuff that he wants. I don't know, but maybe they're not the like crazy ones that people get these bots for. And I forgot to talk about it last week. I was talking about it with regards to The Last of Us remake. So they're doing I talked a little bit about it last week. I don't know how in depth, if I wanted to go further with what I was talking about, but I did read this article earlier this week about how scalpers and people that buy bots, they bought up these Firefly editions, physical copies of The Last of Us Part One, and they're calling it The Last of Us Part One now. And all these special editions, and it's trying to overprice. They're trying to, you know, just overprice these things. Let me see how much The Last of Us Part One PS5. They're showing me TLU 2. I think I saw one where they were selling it for $400, and that's too much. I'm not doing that. And like I said last week, I'm just getting that deluxe edition where you get those little bonus items, and that's it. I'm good. I'm going to enjoy it. I know it's going to be fun. So I'm just going to enjoy that, man. I hate, it just ruins the fun for everybody. For people that just want to really, for collectors and people that genuinely want to enjoy certain things, it makes me feel bad for that. It just makes me angry. And I hate that. I hate that when people can't get stuff like, you know, like the PlayStations and all of that stuff that you gotta be so tech savvy that it just pisses me off. So it made me smile to see Felder get those sneakers. Long story short. What else, you guys? I got to see a play last week. I mentioned that last week that I was recording. When I was recording last week that I was going to a play, I went to see Sister Act down at the Paper Mill Playhouse in Millburn, New Jersey. It's about like a little under an hour. It's not that far from me. And I'd been hearing so much about that playhouse. It's one of the top professional regional theaters in the country. I remember being in undergrad and hearing about, you know, Paper Mill Playhouse, because it wasn't that far from Emmitsburg, Maryland, from where I went to school. And just hearing so much about it, and then finally having a reason to go there to see my buddy Todd Horman, who was in the Lehman trilogy with me. He was in the show, and it was so much fun, man. It was a really good show. It's definitely a crowd pleaser. I hadn't seen the original movie in years. I remember Sister Act 2 just having a crush on Lauryn Hill, obviously. Seeing that like maybe like when I was in 7th or 8th grade, falling in love with her. And the kid from City High, Ryan Toby, who I don't know if how much City High had drama and everything like that. I gotta look on one of these YouTube clips that come up in my feed every now and then about like R&B groups that didn't make it and the bitterness that they have and just like how their life got fucked up. There's one on Soul For Real that's pretty depressing. It's like, Jesus Christ. And then, you know, then some of these artists that still try to hold on after it didn't work. Show business is a fucking... Why did this thing choose me? Well, for the reasons that I said, it's not all bad. And I just told you maybe 5 minutes ago about why it wasn't all bad. But sometimes it's a bitch. It's a bitch. So Sister Act was very fun. I'm always a fan of people that can sing and dance. I'm just such a big fan of watching people dance. It's just the whole spectacle of it all that is really and really fun to watch. So it was definitely a crowd pleaser. And I went to a matinee. I think the show might have been at like 2:30 or something. And all the senior citizens, it was just like senior citizens usually come to the matinees, and it's a term in theater when they say the blue hairs when you see it, but it's adorable, man. It's fucking, you know, like they love it. There was like a bus or something, like a van that took like the senior citizens in the area to the play, and it was packed. I think that's like it's a 1200 seater, beautiful theater. Posted a picture of the outside of the theater on the IG. It's always good, man. That's like some of my favorite shit, is just to see live performances. It was really good. So I enjoyed it. I happened to see it on the closing weekend, but if you ever get a chance to see something at the Paper Mill Playhouse, is worth it. It was a good time. The whole cast was just fucking talented, and there were two understudies that went on for a couple of the main roles, not the Whoopi Goldberg character, but the two of the guys that were in the show, two of the lead main principal guys in the cast, and they did a good job. It's cool to see that, man. I just had a great time. I don't know how long this is going to be. I don't think this is going to be very long, a long pod. I just kind of wanted to give you something to to ride out to for a little bit. I did watch, I finished the Stranger Things finale, the last two episodes. I finished it early this morning. When I got home from work yesterday, I watched the first part, and then after I got back, I watched half of it from the, after I got done with the show, and the rest of it when I woke my old ass up this morning. Really liked it. It's good. It's just it's very solid. I think Stranger Things is a good, fun show. It's cool to just kind of be up on the what's in the cultural zeitgeist. So I like to know what's going on with stuff like that. And it was solid. And the more that I thought about it, it's just like what's endearing is like just these kids fighting demons. You know what I mean? Like they're like literal demons, but you know, sometimes you just have these demons that are just, so I mean, demons, anxiety as a young kid, and they're like kind of just grappling with that. And there's I think it's just like kind of a nostalgic thing for them to go back to place that in the 80s, which was a time where you did see a lot of those kids dealing with shit, you know, like Goonies. It reminded me of like Goonies and all. It's an amalgam of all those things. And I think that nostalgia draws us in. Don Will and I talked about that when he did a couple. We did like a Stranger Things recap for season one or two, I think. It's somewhere. It's on the main website, the podcast website. We were just talking about it. It's just fun and pleasant. I mean, the demons aren't pleasant, but it was just kind of endearing when I just really thought about it, like these kids fighting and trying to save shit. But I just thought I was talking to a friend about this. I guess, you know, COVID didn't help with them putting the show out in a timely fashion. This felt like they kind of held on to it, and the kids are getting older and stuff. So I thought this was going to be it, but apparently they're coming back for season five. And I'm with it, you know, it's cool. And they did say they're going to do a time jump, so that everybody's going to be a little older. So, yeah, it was cool. I rocked with it, you know. What else? I started watching this show. I finished it. This show called The Bear on FX/Hulu. And holy shit, it's really fucking good. I'll read you this blurb on the wiki. That's good, not the wiki, but the Google blurb. All right, here we go. A young chef from the fine dining world comes home to Chicago to run his family's sandwich shop after a heartbreaking death in his family. A world away from what he's used to, Carmi must balance the soul-crushing realities of small business ownership, his strong-willed and recalcitrant? What the fuck is this? Google, you stumped me. What is this? Let me look this up. My mother always say, you don't know what it means? Look it up. Recalcitrant?
Recalcitrant.
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 Okay. Recalcitrant. Having an obstinately uncooperative attitude towards authority or discipline. I don't think that's a good definition for that crew. Whatever, Google. A recalcitrant kitchen staff and his strained familial relationships, all while grappling with the impact of his brother's suicide. As Carmi fights to transform both the shop and himself, he works alongside a rough around the edges kitchen crew that ultimately reveals itself as his chosen family. This was really fucking good. This stars Jeremy Allen White from Shameless on Showtime. Eben. Don't know, I have the thing with the cast. Why do they do this? Eben Moss Backrack, you've seen in a lot of stuff. Abby Elliott. And I want to make sure I'm saying her name, Ayo Edebiri, who's a comedian. She started off, I think, I want to say she started doing comedy in New York. I think she's a fucking star. Now, I saw her last year, maybe a couple of years ago, do stuff on YouTube, do these videos with this other girl. Oh, my God. Who is this girl? She's a cute girl. She's in this new movie with Pete Davidson. But she was also in another movie, Rachel Sennett. So Rachel Sennett was in this film, Shiva Baby, who I think I talked about this film a couple of years ago during the pandemic. I watched it. Really funny movie. And she did, AO did these shorts for Comedy Central with Rachel Sennett. And like, I think they're both like in their mid-20s. And I saw those videos, like, okay, that's cool. And then I saw her stand up, I was like, all right. But then I saw her in this fucking show, and I was just like blown away. It was just this, and you know, like my favorite film last year was this film called Boiling Point, about this a night at this top tier restaurant, and the staff trying to make shit happen, going through their shit. It's something about like, I think I generally am into workplace television shows and films. Obviously The Office comes to mind, Parks and Rec, Superstore come to mind. There was one show called Kitchen Confidential that Bradley Cooper was in that I liked that too. But just like stuff like that. And I guess it's something like about craft, because being a chef involves, it's definitely a craft. You have to be, you want to get good at it, and you want to keep getting better, and there's certain skills you have to have. So that intrigues me. And then that style, like that cinema verite grounded in reality style. And I was listening to AO talk about the filming process. She was saying, you know, we're in this actual restaurant, and they built this set for us too, but like the set was like, because it looks like they're confined in these tight spaces, because it's a small, you know, sandwich shop. It's a restaurant, small restaurant, you know, in Chicago. And like, they built just enough space to get the cameras in. But other than that, it's like you're in there with those people, and the acting's great. And I think it looks like they do these long takes, and like the technical aspect of it is great. And it's just the synthesis of all those technical things with the acting is just fucking incredible. And there's a beautiful scene towards the end of the end of the season. I hope this shit gets picked up. I'm kind of like how my dad used to be, where my dad would be like, I'm going to save this one. I'll save this episode. I'll save this show, you know, in case like when nothing's on, but like, something's on all the time, and it's so much content. And I started watching it, like, I want to say I was watching it on like Monday or Tuesday. It was earlier this week, and I saw it. I was like, when I saw the trailer like a few weeks ago, I was like, oh, that looks good. I'm going to watch that. I got a good feeling about this one. I think I'm going to like it. And I started watching the first three, and I was like, oh, this is too fucking good. I'm going to wait for the weekend. And I couldn't. And then the next day I was like, I'm going to fucking finish these. And I just blew through it. But there's a scene between AO's character, Sydney, and this guy named Lionel Boyce, who's a good actor. The scene between them, he's like kind of like an On the Odd Future crew. He was on Loiter Squad. He's been in some stuff. He looks like a young guy too, like probably in his mid to late 20s. And there's this scene between the two of them. It's just like, oh my God, it's fucking beautiful. It's just like understated, and just, there's no frills to it. It's just like beautiful fucking acting. And that goes for everybody in the cast. But I just think this girl, AO, is a star. I think this is like a star-making performance for her. She also took over Jenny Slate's role in Big Mouth. Probably one of my, that character I think is most, I think she's probably my, one of my favorite characters on that, on Big Mouth. I think Big Mouth is, they finished it or they did a spinoff of it, but Ayo was in that. She took over, what is that character? My goodness. Big Mouth. Missy. Missy's the character. Missy Foreman Greenwald. Yeah. So she's I think she's terrific. And I think that's my recommendation of the week. If you're looking for something, and I don't know why they call it comedy. There's some funny stuff that happens, but it's basically, I guess because it's a half hour show, and that's what they like to do. If it's a half hour, there can't be any drama in that. It's got to be a comedy. But the way that it's shot, the tone of it, it's like, it's just life. It's just like life happening, you know, in front of you. And it's Chicago, and Chicago is about that work, that not necessarily griminess, but that grounded, just that grounded vibe about putting work in, and the whole atmosphere that's created with that cast. Like, they call each other chef. It's all about they working together as a unit, and then you see things towards the end of the season where things start to unravel, and then the characters, you know, unravel, and then it's about, when you talk about them, you know, being a family, you see that, and it's just a beautiful fucking show. Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, out of all the stuff that, you know, I would put it up there. It's an, and I mentioned Abbott Elementary last week. That's another workplace show that I think is up there, you know, really up there. It's a nice companion to Abbott Elementary, I would say. More cursing because it's on FX, but I think it's terrific, man. So I highly recommend that. I like that. And then another thing that was really fun to see and to watch was Usher's Tiny Desk concert. Usher is one of the greats, man. He's a generational great, and he's from my generation. And he's a true showman. I've talked about this like a number of times on the pod, where the motherfucker's just smooth, man. He's just like, he's fun. It's almost like the thing with that I was talking about a little bit with Tom Cruise, how he showcases his like talented people, and because it makes him better. Like, he had these two musicians backing him up, Eric Bellinger and this guy named Vito. And he gave them the opportunity in his set to like showcase those dudes. And he made it a point to do that. Also shouting out his band. And there was one moment where he was like, oh, I forgot to talk about the drummer, my drummer. And he, you know, mentioned him and everything. It was like, it was just so cool, man. He did like, what was it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 songs. And You Make Me Wanna, Superstar, You Don't Have to Call, Nice and Slow, Confessions Part 2, and My Way. So good. It's just fantastic. And it was funny because I saw when I got, I'd watched it, I think it came out on Thursday, and I was watching it while I was like riding my exercise bike. And singing along and just it just put a smile on my face, man. He had these weird earring piercings in his ear, like on the inside of his ear. You'll see it when you watch it. And somebody on Twitter said, "Usher, like Dominican Usher, is in the building." Because I guess that's how Dominican guys dress. Some of them that are kind of flashy or whatever. And then Usher was like, thanks for watching. Or something, he said like, gracias. He didn't take himself too seriously, basically. He's like, what the fuck, man? So he had a good time with that. And yeah, he just fucking killed it. He's just a consummate showman. He's one of the greats, man. And then one of my classmates from high school was posting like, I've watched that Usher thing 15 times. Because, you know, Usher's a heartthrob or whatever. And I said, and I just commented, I just laughed, did the laugh emoji, and just like, he was terrific. He's, you know, it's so cool. Like, I'm at that age where I can remember, like, I vividly remember, like, just loving that dude's music and enjoying it, giving you the confidence to want to talk to a girl or like daydreaming about a girl. Like, you're Usher in the video and you're talking to the girl of your dreams and, you know, all that shit. It's like fucking, it's great. Like, he's just he's one of the greats, man. I've talked about this before, but I'll say it again just to talk about it. There was, when I was working at Best Buy, Usher had this deal with them and he put out like a live DVD box set. I have it somewhere, but it's somewhere on my shelf. And I bought it because I'm a big Usher fan. And he had this like behind the scenes thing where he was, I think he did You Don't Have to Call. And he was in the arena, except for the most part, by himself. There's no crowd. And he was doing a run through. And it was like a full on run through. And he was doing it. I don't even think he was doing it at half speed or anything. He was just performing. And there was hardly anybody there. Yeah, you could say he knew there were cameras there. But he was putting it. He was putting in that work. And you could see that there was a love of the craft. There was a love of the game. And he still had it back then. And that was at the height of his career, if you want to be honest. And he still has and he still can do, you know, he gave us the hits in this tiny desk. And I think there's still more for him to do, but it's nice to see somebody age well, like Usher. Like he took care of himself. I don't think he's on drugs or anything. He had, you know, some problems and shit, you know, that on in the tabloids and all that shit. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about what he gave us as an artist, you know, but like it was really cool to see that. It will be nice to see where he goes from there. That was very, nice to see. It just made me feel good. You know, like it was just one of those things where just like, oh, that's fucking cool. And it was funny. Like he had them, you know how the artists will make you sing along with them or sing the song for them. And he was like, oh, you know, like everybody, those women and those black women in that crowd was like, it's 7 o'clock. He's like, oh, do you guys remember? He's like, you know, when he's like, hey, do you guys remember where I was on this song? It's like 7 o'clock, you was on your drop top. And he was like, oh, you know. He had nice banter. Do I have a man crush on Usher? Whatever, man. He's one of the greats. He had the nice banter going with the crowd. It was just like a full on show. Like he made that a real fucking show. And that's what you do as a performer. You make you take what you have. And even though he was in an environment where he was set up to thrive, he still just embraced it, took it all in, and just made it something really special. And it's already got 2 million views. It just came out 2 days ago. It just came out June 30th. I'm recording this on a Saturday. So, like, he's one of the greats, man. It's always fun to watch him. Like, I would love to have seen him in Vegas, like, to see him do his live show. My parents got me tickets to see him, when I graduated college. That was one of my presents that my parents gave me. I was supposed to go with the broad to see him at what was now, was it the Nissan Pavilion? I've talked about this before, but whatever that pavilion is down in Virginia, I went to see that. I was supposed to go with a friend. She couldn't go. With a girl I was seeing. Excuse me. So I went with one of my buddies from college, and it was Usher, Nas, and Faith. And it was that tour that they did together, and Usher headlined, and it was fantastic. And yeah, I don't know why I brought that up. I just remember it being a great time. Yeah, it was just really fucking fun. So with that, folks, I think that's gonna be it. I think it's gonna be it for this week. Everybody, have a great and safe 4th of July weekend. Eat some good food, and oh shit, I forgot to tell you guys about, speaking of food, and then I'll let you go. I want to talk about some disappointments, man. I try to support local businesses. You hear me talk about Fuddruckers, and you hear me talk about these chain restaurants and all that, and you hear me talk about my quest to find good Mexican food in my area. So Sunday, I want something to eat. I was thinking about doing DoorDash, but it's so expensive. I was like, I'm not going to do it. I'll wait. I'll just go out the next day. I'll go out and get some food somewhere. I'll go to this place. So I was on Instagram, and I think I was on DoorDash, and I found this place. Oh, I know that, didn't know that exists. That's like 15 minutes away. The food looks good. They have these birria tacos, like where you have these prime rib, you know. And I was like, oh shit, I would love to try that. And I was like, bet, let me do it. Let me rock with it. And I went, got the birria tacos, and then you get three of them. Three tacos for $15. That's pricey. But I said, you know what? Let's do it. I'm going to try it. I'm going to support a small business. And I got some carnitas, three of those. I was like, okay. It was not good. It was not good. I paid almost $40 because I tipped well. It was just mediocre. It was just trash. So I was so mad. It wasn't fulfilling. I went to McDonald's, and I should not have done that. That was my bad. But the McDonald's was better than that. And I don't mind spending money on food, especially when it's good. But when you spend money on food and it's bad, that makes me angry. And it was just like, ugh, I won't go back there. And there, and it just was not, it was bad, man. It was really bad. And then the next day I went to this, I got some potato salad from a market. Now, Black people, I know it. That's, I mean, I guess it's kind of blasphemy, I guess. But like, if it's not my mother's, you know, you just in a pickle. You just want a side. You want a summer side. You know, you want one of those summer salads. Now, it's not. Now, I've had from Stop and Shop. They have like this red potato salad, and it's pretty good. Cause especially if you season it a little bit more when you get it, like you put some paprika on it and pepper, and you mix it up, and it's pretty, it's actually sustainable. It's not bad. So I've had that a couple times, and I told my mother, I was like, yeah, it's not, you know, it's not best, not yours. It's never going to be yours, but it's pretty good. You know, it's serviceable. So I was like, I would just want a side. I don't know that I want anything heavy like macaroni and cheese. I got like a rotisserie chicken, and I had some string beans at home. So I had dinner. And that potato salad that I got from that market was just bad. I think it was because there were no Black or Mexican people in that market. There's a market near me. I think it's called the Maywood Market. And they, like, there's Mexican people that make all that food. There's some things that are better than others, but for the most part, everything is consistently good. And they're making all kinds of food back there. And it's like, people come, if you come during a high volume time, like, there are people there of all ethnicities trying to get that food back there. They'll make you some ribs. They'll give you a chicken cutlet. They'll have some lasagna. It's like a smorgasbord. It's sometimes you go back there not knowing what you want, and they look at you like you're an idiot, because you are an idiot, because you're just being really indecisive. But yeah, there were no people of color working there that on that shift. I didn't see any that were cooking. Sometimes it's about who's cooking that day, to be honest with you. So I was disappointed in that. But I did, when the homie JL and I last night, we went to this diner in near his place, and I had a triple decker sandwich, like a club sandwich, and it was good. And JL was like, get the waffle fries. That dude didn't bring me a pickle. He didn't bring me a pickle. He was supposed to, and I forgot. But I was so busy enjoying that sandwich and those waffle fries. It was really good. And it's hard. It's not hard to make good tuna, but it's easy to fuck it up. You know what I mean? Like, just one wrong thing could be off. And my late great uncle, the late great Marvin Lamberth, he could make a great fucking tuna fish sandwich. And that's, to me, that was the standard bearer. And the thing about him was, when you tell a good guy, you know, like, where he would make like his own sons would make them like fried bologna sandwiches. And we'd be hanging out in the summer. He'd teach us how to play baseball and shit. We'd be doing all this stuff, running around. And when he'd cook for us, you know, like he'd make them bologna. But I didn't really like bologna. I was a picky. I wasn't an asshole kid. I think that's one of the reasons why he did it for me, because I was a decent kid. I wasn't an asshole. But he would make me tuna fish sandwiches. He'd make tuna salad, and he'd cut up he'd boil the eggs, and he'd season it, and it would just be fucking perfect. And you get that sunbeam bread with the little white girl on the bottom of the package, toasted up. I'd put some hot sauce, put some Texas Pete hot sauce on it. Perfection. And it's nothing like a good tuna sandwich. And so that was good. So I did finish the week of having like a good sandwich at a restaurant, at a nice diner. So you got a little bonus, guys, talking about food. Yeah, it's just, I hate. And it's like, and then the fact that there were Mexican people making that food at that restaurant was even more disappointing, because the best birria tacos that I had were made by a white guy. And that's the best that I had, made from like a white dude in his, at this rib spot. And they're so good at that place. And I've only had them one time, but they're so good that they have to post on Instagram and say, hey, we got birria tacos just today. You know, it's like a special that they have. So, I mean, and like, so some of the best Mexican food other than La Frontera, RIP, that used to be across the street from the Hackensack jail. They changed to this place called Agave in Wallington, New Jersey, which is like 20 minutes south of me, which is good. It is a good place. It's a good restaurant. I've gotten the version of that burrito that they would make. I got it there, and it is good, but it's not the same. It's just not the same as that place. And so where was I going with that? It's so like the best that I've had have been white guy in Hillsdale, New Jersey, burrito tacos. And then the best burrito in the game right now is Broritos in Bergen County that I've had in Hackensack. And like, it's black dudes, a black guy and a white guy. Mexican people in my hood, y'all gotta step it up, man. In Bergen County, like, there is a good Mexican spot that's a chain called, I think it's called like Viva. What is that called? Maybe you guys are getting an hour today. It's called Viva Margarita. And there's about, I think there's about four locations in different towns in New Jersey. There's at least two. And that's good. I had a burrito, but it was a small burrito. I was not satiated by it, but it was good. But I wouldn't say that I was, I would go back. You know, I'm actually going to go back. I think I'm going to try to go back for their Taco Tuesday. Cause I did see, and that's what made me mad. Cause I was like, after I got that burrito from that other place that I will not name, I was just like, damn, I could have went to Taco Tuesday at this Viva Margarita. And that was right down the street. It was minutes away. And I dropped the ball. But you won't know. You don't know unless you try it. But I was just disappointed because it was overpriced and it was Mexican people that made it and it was not good. And there were people eating in there. I was like, oh, this seems like a cool spot. But so it goes. Well, that being said, everybody have a great week. Have a great 4th of July with your friends and family and enjoy yourself. Be safe. And I will talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.